This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're brought to you by the Vodoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for all of Chicago's sports and betting news.
Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
From Rutgers, he comes. In a football world where the greatest franchise in human history approaches greatness.
No way. Oh my God! No way! Oh my God!
One man.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
One man rises from the ashes of ineptitude to block their way to greatness. Michael Burton.
Oh my God! No way! Oh my God!
Michael Burton.
Mikey.
Michael Burton, Rutgers University, fullback. I'm smashing heads all game.
This fall, Mikey's back.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What's up, Chicago Bears fans? This is Thomas Jones, former Chicago Bear.
This is Adrian Amos.
Hey, this is Kyle Walker.
This is Akeem Hicks.
You're listening to Bears Barroom Radio. I'm your buddy, Mike North. They're the best in the business.
We keeping it 100, baby.
Bear down, baby.
Mike North ain't no bear ball washer, that's for sure.
News just broke a few hours ago.
What does Aldo's mama say?
Nobody knows more about the Bears than Phil and Shane. Fuck everybody else.
That is what Aldo's mama said.
Yeah, oh yeah. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Na na na. A Bears Barroom. They're the ones that fight for truth. Bears are alive or 100 proof. Even if the Bears win or lose. A Bears Barroom. They're the ones that fight for truth. It's our live or 100 proof. No matter if the Bears win or lose. Yo, first, the smartest man, no tweets, he's ever missing. Impossible, the mission, call out frauds with precision.
A Bears 100 booth, he faces number one, Adora. Slaying dumb tweets, cross-eyed like Katora.
Never one to back down, to call a fraud a lemon.
Wazram, no doubt, Miller's asterisk ending.
Cheers, Bears fans. The fired Puerto Rican barkeeper for Chicagoland.
He's the godfather, the one, the real producer. Always keeping the show together with the voice that will seduce her.
Fisking out of Firefox, the old-timer never. IPA drafts, malts, crafts, barkeep takes a shot.
No denial.
Barflies appreciated worldwide. Canada, Scotland, England, Brazil, Mexico, and Dubai. Dr. Phil is the guy, the one to realize that the barroom needed a show with an endless shoot supply.
Gone big coat for the narrative on color. Brought the Jaces of campaign for Mitchell. Now I'm the usher.
Standing up for the truth.
You know your boy's a little guy. These media heads won't give us credits up to the barflies.
Flies. Flies, flies,
fuck a fraud in his keyboard, Twitter, tough guys surround us. Raining truth on the Bears worldwide, bar flies astound us.
This is the number one pod, that's the reality of the truth. And if you don't know us by now,
Bears 100 proof.
A Bears barroom.
It's so early in the year, you know what I mean? We're just only going into week six, you know? So, I mean, it's a ton of football left, you know? So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, our focus remains the same, and that's to win the division, you know? And each and every week, we've got an opportunity to do that.
Even though it's early, do you think that you guys are in a better place than maybe you had thought you would be this early into a new offense and a new team?
I mean, this is what we expected. You know, every time we go out there on Sunday, we expect to go out there and win. You know, and that's been the standard since day one. You know, since the first time we stepped in this facility, what was it, first week of April? You know, the standard was set, and that was to come in here and win games.
This is Bears 100 Proof, and you just heard wide receiver Allen Robinson II tell our buddy Mark Grody of The Score Sports Radio 670 that on any given Sunday, the Bears expect to win. And the feeling around Chicago is the same, because as the Chicago Tribune reports, ticket sales for the games in the secondary market are rising quickly. My name is Aldo Gandia. I serve the drinks at this watering hole, but don't you worry, the stars of our nightclub act are here and raring to go. They are, of course, Shane, the smartest man in the barroom, Marsaw, and draft Dr. Philatosha. After a fabulous open of a horror movie trailer on fullback Mike Burton and a tribute to Mike North, the hottest sports handicapper in the country, I want to open with the doctor and ask the following. What are you more impressed with? Mike Burton still holding on to his roster spot, or Mike North's extraordinary 18-1-1 record on his NFL picks here on his show, The Mike North Advantage?
It showed that he just left, Aldo.
Sorry. My connection must have been bad, because Aldo sounded like a robot.
Really? Fuck, I thought I was going to be the best 100 proof ever. Just me and Aldo.
You've had some connection issues tonight, Draft Dr. Phil, but I'll tell you what, those songs at the beginning of the show connected with our audience. I think they all loved it. I asked the question, what are you most impressed with? Mike Burton still holding a roster spot, or Mike North's 18-1-1 record? And he's gone again.
Well, I'll tell you how I feel, Aldo.
Thank you, Shane.
Hey, I'm not going to waste any time on Mike Burton. No, what Mike North is doing on his epic run here is completely impressive. I mean, I'm in a DraftKings league with some buddies, and I mean, it's hard to pick a single friggin' player that's going to stand out for the week, let alone go on a run like he's on at 18-1-1. I mean, it's pretty unprecedented, and what an honor for us to have a guy like Mike be part of Bears Barroom while he's on this epic streak. So yeah, kudos to him. I know he likes to rile up the masses, and he does get people fired up, but end of the day, he knows what he's talking about, and the proof is in the pudding with that record.
Yeah,
you gotta
go ahead, Phil.
You gotta go with Uncle Mike Aldo. How could I choose Mike Burton, for God's sake, over Uncle Mike's hot streak? You talk about a winning streak. I used to go to the casino up in Connecticut to play this one slot machine called Winning Streak, and I would always hear when you got a certain combination, then you were able to go on the winning streak. And this music would play. And every time I see Mike's tweets go out there, I hear that music, winning streak, because that's what you'd be doing with this guy.
Really?
Because he's given you locks. And my song predicted such.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of credit should go to me, Mike, because I believed in you.
I got so many jelly beans I don't know what to do with. I don't know about you guys.
I know. I just want a BV's cookie. That's the one thing I wanted when I went to Chicago.
I was there again last week, man. They were saying goodbye. And I wouldn't leave until they gave me some cookies.
Aldo's looking for that plastic to-go box. He's always looking for something to go.
She usually gives me like about a dozen cookies on the way out. And this time she gave me like six or seven. And I was like walking out all dejected and stuff.
Do you eat them with a fork, Aldo?
Shit, hell no. I eat them all one bite, bro. Hey, I want to talk about this Chicago Bears team. You know, I can't help myself. As much as I want to be the logical thinking, rational thinking guy, I cannot suppress the fan inside of me who tells me the Bears are going to fucking win out. They're going to beat the Dolphins. They're going to beat the Patriots. They're going to go on and just be so unfucking defeat. They're going to be undefeated the rest of the season. Now, I know it's ridiculous. I know it's stupid. But in my heart of hearts, I believe it's possible. Now, go ahead. Tell me how stupid I am, or tell me, hey, maybe I'm onto something. Shane, what do you think?
Oh, I totally hear what you're saying. And it's just, it's part of being a Chicago Bears fan where you can sit back and you can have a little bit of confidence, and then 5 minutes later you've completely talked yourself out of it, and the Bears are the worst team in the league. It's uncharted territory for us guys. And I said, what, you know, you can talk about the 2005 and 2006 team, and they went to the NFC Championship game in 2010, but you know, those teams still, I mean, were totally unbalanced, and you can talk about Lovie Smith all you want. I mean, there were still some questions there. This team, what makes it so much fun is they're young. Both sides of the ball, the arrow is pointing up. You got your young, you know, hopefully franchise quarterback, and it's just, I can't. I'm 42. I turned 42 in July, and for my entire life as a Chicago Bears fan, you could look back in, like, you know, 1998, and you'd get excited about a guy like Marcus Robinson coming out of nowhere. But it was one guy that you'd get excited about, and that was it. You know, you'd tune in for him. Now you look, and you're getting excited to see how Mitch Trubisky's gonna build off of this epic game versus Tampa. You know, Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, and we're not going to stop there. Don't you worry. We got Trey Burton and Allen Robinson, and Anthony Miller is on the shelf, but we got to, you know, still have a guy in the cupboard and Adam Shaheen and all these guys. I still haven't touched on the dominant side of the football yet, and the defensive side. So to me, I know, Aldo, you're older than we are, but you've seen some championship teams in Chicago, but this to me just has a completely different feel, and I get the enthusiasm. And I mean, it's not just us, Aldo. It's not just fans. It's the players. Mm-hmm. You hear these guys speak in interviews. You see them on TV. You see the way that they're reacting on the field, and that optimism shows with them also. And when you're a young team like that, a little bit of positivity, when they start to believe in themselves, maybe we've seen stranger things happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're crazy, that the Bears can't go out and make a huge statement and run the table, but we just can't. I mean, we're so many miles away from that. Phil put it perfectly last night talking on BHL that we have to you have to do the one game seasons. It's all right. We, you know, Bill Belichick, well, we're on to Miami. And then after that, then you worry about the next game. So, but I totally understand the enthusiasm, and it's a great, great feeling.
Phil, but I got to tell you, I sat next to you watching the game, so I know how much you love this team. I know how much you want this team to succeed, like as much as you want anything else on planet Earth. You know? But give me your realistic viewpoint. Do you think that these Bears can win out the rest of the way?
How though? Shane, I dubbed them the smartest man for a reason. You know, and I say this with all honesty, you know, seeing it live, and I appreciate your kind words because it's true. Like, the passion for this team goes beyond the jersey colors for me, because we talked about it all off season, last season. This team is better than it's being coached and used. The personnel is not, it was a broken record here. We need to get more speed, Bears Barroom said. If we get speed, it just makes a difference. They don't have enough dogs out there. Everything we talked about, I think Trey Busy said it on a live tweet on that same Sunday. Everything you guys asked for on 100 proof, Ryan Pace went out and did. And then to get the best defensive player in football on top of what you've already done. Like, I already thought this defense was going to be great with a big question mark on Floyd. He's got to step up, blah, but we need a pass rush. You got the best one in football. Now, here's where, you know, these other bloggers and stuff come with numbers and algorithms to tell you a weekend in November that's possibly 43 degrees will affect the game. This is where I say throw those fucking frauds off to the side or drag and drop them into the trash pail on your computer if that's what you need to do. And listen, speed kills. Defense is key and critical in every NFL and every football game on every level. Why? Because if you don't let anyone score, there's no chance of you losing. When you have this type of defense, Aldo, and we saw it live, it was smothering. I mean, friend of the show, Jim Larrison, pointing out they've removed every quarterback in every game except Russell Wilson. Every quarterback has gone out and replaced. This defense is special. And I gave you a shout-out, Shane, last night, just like tonight, about getting those waves of pass rushers. I don't think you lose a damn play or a rep when Nichols and my boy Roy Robb are in the game. To Shane's great point, and I'm going to use it and highlight it, Shane, when you use Marcus Robinson, you know, the great teams had more than one guy. You know, there was Tractor Trailer, Ted Washington, Olin Krutz. There's a reason why they went far and got to places. And Urlacher and Briggs and Tillman, the names, Mike Brown, Tommy Harris. There's a reason why. Now there's plenty of talent out there. The law of 10% that I spoke about is being played out. We got a coach. We got a great defensive coach. He has been more aggressive. Think about the last play against Seattle, Shane. Would we have seen a blitz to end all, or excuse me, it was Arizona, right? Mm-hmm. He goes all out blitz. He might have did the same thing against Seattle with Russell Wilson. The reality is, in a close game, we would see back playing sky or cloud coverage. Everybody got a spot, match up. No, we're going after people because we have the talent to do so. Everywhere. I'm looking for a weakness on this defense, Aldo, and I can't find it. So if I say that and you're talking the way you are, I don't think you're off. Your gut is right. In fact, you were right there next to me. You build off, what did we say on this show? A win's a win, ugly or not, you fucking dumbass Link. Right? With that. Then I prognosticated like a young Mike North and said, a great coach will do what? He'll use this as an opportunity to get his guys coached up and prepared. I just happened to be there at the game, Aldo, with you. And I witnessed the best Chicago Bears game I've ever seen live or possibly on television since 85. So, did he coach them up? Yes. Were they prepared? Yes. They destroyed that team, embarrassed them. Anything you put in front of them, they took it away. And that right there, the national media could do whatever the fuck they want. But I'm telling you, Aldo, you're right. Because the whole question mark and the whole way they get you and the chicken bone, you know, you pull the chicken bone, whoever gets the bigger piece gets their wish, is Mitch Trubisky. Yep. So they could say, well, he's looked shaky. You know, he had 6 touchdowns, and Deion Sanders, Aldo, didn't even mention him. Remember?
Yeah.
In the highlight show after the fucking game, Aldo's looking for, he's like, Phil, I'm embarrassed. I'm in fucking Chicago. We can't even find a goddamn football highlight show here. So somehow he stumbles across Deion Sanders, and it was just like a taped preview. It is prime time. I got my hot take. I got my this. I got my that. These are my stars of the day. Well, me and Aldo are like layup time for Trubisky. Nope. Didn't even mention him. 6 touchdowns, broke all these records, ran for 50 yards, didn't throw an interception, had his best game as a pro. Wasn't even mentioned. So it is real, guys. The narrative and the bias is real. It's always been there. Now, what you said, Shane, all the time, and Aldo, winning's the cure-all. Winning's the cure-all. Well, in order to win, you got to have great coaching. We haven't had it. Shane's being nice with Lovey. I know a lot of people love Lovey, but let me tell you, I didn't have a show with Lovey because the rants on that show about some of his coaching decisions, challenges, and all the drama, timeouts used, the wrong. So much shit went down. So you win with great coaching. There's already great talent everywhere. But the Bears and Ryan Pace, I salute you. You got the golden goose. You got the golden ticket to get in Willy Wonka's fucking chocolate factory of sacks. Because that guy is the fucking the best. Like, I'll buy his jersey. That good. You know how much I love Jordan Howard. Do I have a Howard jersey? No. I have a Walter Payton, a Phil Atoshin jersey, and an orange Jay Cutler jersey that I'm going to raffle off this weekend.
Oh, boy.
But seriously, Khalil Mack is unbelievable. And that tips the scales. To, like Grody said, is he better than we thought he was? Yes. Aldo, I love this guy. We were fired up on that show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watching him, it's like we had Brett Maley on here. It's like watching the greatest painter, Da Vinci, paint. It's like you're in awe. Or watching the best musician in the world play guitar. And that is really how good he is, and he makes everybody better. So the long answer that I give is yes. If this team is out there, why I'm asking fans, rise up. Be positive. Send that kind of energy. Don't do what Shane was talking about, because habitually, not that Shane's wrong, let's be honest, on a show of truth, oh, fuck, here we go again. In fact, funny story. I'm sitting there with Trey, and Jim Larrison could admit that he heard me say this. On the punt against Tampa, I see the ball, Shane. It ricocheted or it looked weird to me.
Yeah,
I turned my head up at Deion the large Bush. Screen. Yeah, I've turned my head. Now the Bears are in on a roll. We've been down this before, right, Shane?
Yep.
All of a sudden, you're getting the ball back. You're up 14-0. Hits Deion Bush. They get the ball at the 12 or 14-yard line. Now they're in the game. They shouldn't have been in. Didn't happen to the Bears. So let's start looking at positivity. That old shitty hit the defensive back, Richard Fain, in the back of the ass. It knocks forward. The Bears are up 12-0 against Green Bay. Up, Brett Favre has the ball now at the Bears' 12-yard line. One play, touchdown, slant to Sterling Sharp, 12-7. Bears stop the Bears. They score again. You've gone down that. Now you got a defense. Now you got a bunch of guys that are motivated and are attacking. And I absolutely, to Aldo's point, I can't remember when I've loved a team so much, from Cody Whitehair, Howard, Akeem Hicks, Kyle Long, all these, Amos, Fuller. I love this team, and I believe they could do it. I really do.
Shane, let's go down the schedule, and on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being a cakewalk, the Bears are sure to win.
Oh, boy.
And 10, and 10 being, yeah, that's going to be a hard one to win. All right? I want you to give me a number on each of these. We'll do these rapid fire, right? All right. Miami, 1 to 10.
8.
8, they're going to win. So 8 is like, it's a sure lock to win.
I thought you said 1 was a cakewalk.
Oh, so you're saying that they're going to have trouble in Miami?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, it's the Miami. It's Miami versus Chicago. We've been down this. We were down this road in '85. We were down it when we went to the Super Bowl in 2006. They came to Chicago, led by Joey Harrington, and put one on us. If people are overlooking the Miami Dolphins in Miami, then you're a fucking moron.
I'm a fucking moron because I think you're fucking crushed.
No,
New England at Chicago, 1 to 10.
Oh, 10. It's Tom Brady. It's that. That's Tom your. Brady. You get by, like I said, and I'm not trying to skip by Miami. You get by Miami, and get the 4-1. This is your. Phil doesn't want to hear it, but this is your statement game. This is the king coming to town, and you want to fucking fold his ass in half with your defense. How do you beat Tom Brady? You knock him on his ass. Now we have the horses to do that. And you can make a fucking statement right there in that game in you know, versus New England. But I'm not discounting Miami whatsoever. I was worried about the Tampa game. That's just the way that I am, being a skeptical Bears fan. The Bears can be up 21-0, and we just lived it in week one, guys. We had a huge lead in Lambeau. Bad things can happen. Hopefully they've learned from that. But
Phil, you want to play this game with me? Because fucking Shane is a downer.
I'm actually enjoying listening to this.
Listen, man, the fucking Bears are going to go to Miami, and they're going to do a fucking cha-cha-cha all over Dolphins offense that mustered 100 yards of total offense against New England. There's no fucking way they're going to score any points on this Bears defense. They'll maybe squeeze out some field goals. And 2 weeks to prepare for Miami's defense. Miami's defense is not bad, but they're giving up points because of the offense is so atrocious. So
Should I ask you guys the schedule?
Yeah, go ahead.
And you two play the game together? Yeah.
Okay, I like this.
All right, let me pull up the schedule real quick.
Sounds like Aldo's going ones all the way through. 56-0, not in Miami. Okay, wait, New England.
Wait a minute, let me do another shot.
All right.
My throat hurts. I've been doing this honey whiskey thing.
I know. So, Aldo, where's your number with Miami?
It's a so two.
Shane is an eight.
It's a two.
Okay. Yeah. I'm writing these down.
The only way they lose that game is if Trubisky regresses to the point where his turnovers lead to points. There's just no other way I can see them losing mm-hmm. this game, even if it's at Miami. Absolutely.
What was your number heading into Tampa?
It was like about a five.
Yeah, I'd say solid six or seven there. I was worried about it.
But I think the guy's telling the truth.
I was a little worried about Fitzpatrick, but I saw enough progress. The other thing about the Miami game that gives me great hope that they're going to demolish them is that Andy Reid coaches usually know how to utilize that bye week very well. Andy Reid coaches and Andy Reid himself usually have an excellent record after a bye week. So I have to believe that this coaching staff, Nagy and Vic Fangio and company, they're going to come out there with a very good, solid plan against the Dolphins.
All right, you want me to kick you in the nuts?
Yes, go ahead.
Andy Reid's coaching tree. Coaches under Andy Reid as head coaches.
Uh-huh.
Their records coming off a bye week.
Oh, no.
18 wins, 19 losses.
Oh, fuck.
We're in the...
That's happening.
We're still in the middle.
Andy Reid's record coming off a bye is fantastic. I think he's only lost three games in his career.
That has to be one assistant coach that fucked up that record. Whoever that guy is should.
I think it's Ann Childress.
I did watch him. I was standing right behind him when he was warming up and saw him kind of reach for his groin and hold it and whatever you do with the groin, rub it. I think I witnessed it twinged a little bit on him.
I got it right here. Andy Reid's former assistants are 18 and 19 following an off week. Andy Reid himself is 16 and 3 over his career coming off the bye.
That's impressive. Who's the coaches?
Yeah, so do you have those coaches?
Who's the ones that have, do you have the numbers?
Who lost
25% of the NFL is coached by people in the Andy Reid. It really is. It's 25% exactly.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
All right, but do you have their records? No.
Who those 19 losses belong to, those coaches?
Oh, are they all like six of them for Brad Childress?
It twinged a little bit on it.
No,
that's
I don't
what
know.
I say. All 19. All 19 are Brad Childress.
Whatever you do with the groin.
Frankie Myers.
Well, you got.
Where's my Brad Childress drop?
You would have.
Rub it.
Ron Rivera would be in there too. He came from the Andy Reid coaching tree. That's where he started, so he'd be one. Brad Childress.
Whatever you do with the groin.
Doug Peterson, the guy in New York.
Didn't Andy Reid come from Mike Holmgren's tree? And then that used to be, you know what I'm saying?
He was in Green Bay,
It's like, now it's Andy Reid's tree.
Well, yeah, there are guys that work directly under him, but it's...
Right, right.
I think you can find a number for anything that's going to make your argument look better, but it's... Guys, we know how this works. Young teams can do really, really stupid things sometimes. You know, you got guys out there that can start to read the headlines, and that's where coaching matters. That's where that all comes in. And I do believe in Nagy because I think we've seen Nagy progress as a coach.
He improved. These first,
exactly. Already. So
what's Aldo's number for New England? So Shane has a 10.
Right. I've got a 4. I really do believe that this is going to be a statement game for the Chicago Bears. I do believe that despite the performance by the Patriots the last 2 weeks to tell naysayers, you know, to tell people, people are saying, everybody thought the Patriots were going to. No, the Patriots are on their last legs. I see it. They still are a great team. I'm not going to deny that. But this is not the team they were, you know, last year. This is not the team they were a few years ago. I think that this team is going to come into Soldier Field. They're going to be intimidated by this defense. Tom Brady has had to rely more on deep passes this year as opposed to that quick release because he doesn't have receivers. Well, I should take that back with Edelman back, you know, and Gordon. Those guys can't create separation. But prior to that, they were having trouble finding receivers who can create separation. I still, though, have confidence that this is going to be that statement game and that the same euphoria we felt after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win at Soldier Field, that's going to be doubled. After this Patriots game, because this is going to be our Dallas Cowboys 44-0. I'm not saying they're going to win 44-0, but this is going to be that statement game where we're going to let the NFL know, hey, it's time to maybe start doing a Super Bowl shuffle song.
And according to sources, you gave away your tickets to that game. Is that true?
I did. I gave them to Caitlin and Diego. Will be at that game, and they will be. They owe me for the rest of their fucking lives.
I was just. This is gonna be the double the Tampa game, and I'm not gonna be there. I'm totally not gonna be there.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that there's a story circulating that they might switch that game to a night game to move it to Sunday night football. So I mentioned that to my stepdaughter. She goes, "Oh, I don't want to go if it's going to be a night game." And I was like, okay, I just extended my hand out and give me the fucking tickets. Right.
Will you take it back from the boyfriend too? Like, or would you and him go?
No, no, he's not going with me.
True.
I love
All right,
Diego.
Jets, okay. Boys, give me your numbers.
I'll go 4 on that.
That's a 1. They're going to demolish
Buffalo.
The Jets. Now that's at Buffalo, and this is this game actually worries me a little bit because it, you know, they got Detroit the following week. You know, I'm gonna say it's a 4 as well, just like the Patriots. I know that sounds weird, you know, but this is just the way I fucking feel, man. I can't.
Yeah, that's all I want.
I was gonna go 6 on the Buffalo. Buffalo's teetering right on that bridge of, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, there's talk today. They said that Philadelphia has reached out to Buffalo to possibly reacquire Shady McCoy. And, I mean, that would be I know they have their issues in Buffalo, but he's one of their you know, fan favorites. And I think we're one of the leaders on that team. And you have a young quarterback, and if you want to take a weapon away from him, I'm not sure if that makes too much sense. So that could be a real huge blow across Bill's mafia right there. So that's I think this is just my skepticism as a Bears fan. I can't, you know, we could be playing high school team, and I could probably talk myself into why they're going to beat the Chicago Bears that week. It's just, there's been a lot of losses over the years, but I'll put Buffalo game at a 6.
Here we go, Detroit.
Yeah, this is part of that, the start of that 3-game swing where it's Detroit, Minnesota, and Detroit. And I feel good about all 3 of these games. I'll give you numbers for all 3 right now. I'll tell you, it's Detroit 1 at Soldier Field. That's the Bears are easily going to win that game. Minnesota at Soldier Field, it's a 2. And at Detroit, I'm a little concerned about that. That's the Thursday game, Thanksgiving. But nonetheless, I'll go to a 5 on that one. That could be the toughest game other than L.A. on the rest of their schedule.
I'm going to go Detroit at home. I would put at a 5. Mm-hmm. Just because I think, you know, we've seen Matthew Stafford good and bad, but the guy can still make play. I mean, he can still sling the football. We've seen that. It seems like we do play them better in Chicago. Minnesota is, you guys have heard me say it 100 times on this show. Minnesota is a good team, but they're just a team that does not scare me. We hung with Minnesota last year with no talent and really nothing, you know, helping out our quarterback whatsoever. So I'll boost that one up to a 6. And then that leaves us at Thanksgiving game, right?
Correct.
And at Detroit. So Detroit always seems to be kind of tough on Thanksgiving. We'll see how the young team adjusts to, you know, a national game like that. At, I believe they're the early game that day too, right? 1 o'clock? I'll boost that one up to a 7 just because it's in Detroit and because of the situation. You never know how a young team is gonna adjust to that, and we'll see what happens in Detroit. But I'd boost that one up a little bit too, just like you did, Aldo.
So you got 6 for Minnesota, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to double check. I'm writing mine down too on the side.
Cool.
I'll give you it at the end. A game I will be attending, the New York football giants. My wife's coming.
Nice.
Barflies are going.
Nice.
Shane Marsall and I might meet. Could we get somebody to document it, like videography, like the Chariots of Fire?
We'll have to wear the helmet cams.
The GoPro.
It's gonna be fucking erotic. Just get a porno movie maker.
Don't forget my 8x10, you fuck.
Is Toots flying in? Toots,
get those 8x10s ready. We'll mail them out tomorrow.
Well, fuck the tailgate show, fuckers. No, I'm joking.
This is a tough one, right? Yeah. Go ahead, Shay.
Who's going? Shane, you're gonna be there. Go ahead.
In New York, this is, I talked about Buffalo, but in New York, they seem to be on a downward spiral. You see what's happening with Eli and with Odell, and Sterling Shepard was throwing shit on the sidelines. You can really see things, you know, blowing up there. You got your 37, 38-year-old quarterback, and your GM has drafted two running backs in the top 10 the past 2 years. So, you know, if the Giants can get some of their defense cranked up, I'd put it up a little bit more. But I don't have a lot of faith in the Giants right now, so I'm going to put that at a 5.
Aldo,
this guy's got a tough scoring system, man. According to your scoring system, the Bears will be lucky to be 500.
Yeah. I told you, that's just my natural skepticism coming out. Yeah,
my natural optimism.
You ain't gonna get any ones from me.
I'm telling you right now, Eli Manning leaves what is that stadium called?
MetLife Stadium.
MetLife. Eli Manning leaves MetLife Stadium in a body bag in this game. This guy. Nowhere to run. He is going. This is a field goals for New York Giants and touchdowns for the Bears. I'll give you a score right now. This is a 34-9 win, and so I'm feeling really good about this. I'll give it a 2. The only reason I don't give it a 1 is because I have respect for the New York Giants fans who could potentially disrupt Mitch Trubisky's zone. That's the only thing going on there. Now, this next week's game is the tough one.
Rams.
Yep.
Rams.
That's in Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah,
sir.
That's going to be there. There you go. They're going to be on this epic undefeated run, according to Gandia. Heading into the Rams game, so that's definitely going to be a statement game. But I don't see how you can put that at anything else other than a 10. Yeah. Even though it's in Chicago, I mean, you talk about a star-studded team with a young quarterback. I know they're dealing with some injuries right now, but we're talking, you know, a couple months away at this point. Hopefully, they get that worked out on their end. But that team is loaded and really playing well. And you see Sean McVay, the way that he's coaching, he's not coaching scared. That's for sure. He's got a call. He's got conviction. He's going to own it. And that permeates over to the players. And you can see it in their play. So I have no problem putting that one all the way up at the top at a 10. I think that's going to be a real tough game.
Aldo.
Yeah, this is a tough one. There's no doubt about that. I think the Rams are the best team in the NFL. But because it's at Soldier Field, because it's December 9th and you've got a young quarterback who doesn't have a lot of experience in playing in cold weather stadiums in the NFL. I don't even think he had much experience in college playing in cold weather stadiums. I think that works highly in favor of the Chicago Bears. I think that by that time, Trubisky should be close to hitting on all cylinders. This Los Angeles Rams defense has some marquee players, no doubt about it, but they've also given up a lot of points. Part of it because they've had some injuries in the defensive backfield and so forth, but part of it also is just, I don't think that they're a team yet. It's hard to, of course, prognosticate what's going to happen in December with that team, but I like the Bears' chances to win, but nonetheless, this is the toughest game on their schedule. I say a 6 or a 7. Give it a 7 in terms of difficulty.
Are you telling me this is going to come down to a Cody Parkey field goal in December in Soldier Field?
Damn right, man.
Cody. He proved. Cody buried it right in your face.
That's right.
Yeah, man. I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about him kicking in October.
I hear you. That game that Phil and I were at, you know, there wasn't much wind at all in that game, if I recall correctly, right, Phil? Yep. I mean, the flags.
Yeah, I don't think there was much. I mean, there was a slight breeze, but nothing.
Yeah,
that you'd experience there.
It's gonna be tough.
I'm not gonna lie. I sat here in my chair watching it, and my confidence level wasn't real high for him kicking it. I know Phil was screaming that he's gonna bury it. He's gonna bury it.
I did.
He did.
But Pascal, though, right?
Oh yeah.
No.
I felt it. I was confident in him.
I'm gonna pump the brakes on Cody Parkey love until November, December, and January. We'll see how he adjusts then.
Talk about Cody. You sound like a jilted lover.
At Chicago.
This is a one. They're definitely going to win this game. Definitely. Definitely.
I was going to go all the way down to a three. I can't disrespect Aaron Rodgers to put it down to a one. I mean, as bad as it is for me to say that as a Bears fan,
fuck him up.
He's still Aaron Rodgers. There's no way that you can't respect the game that that guy plays. I mean, we saw it firsthand week one, where we should be 4-0 right now, but because of him, we are not. For me to put it down to a one, it's still Aaron Rodgers, three, and hopefully Khalil Mack ends his day early, and then I'll put it down to a one.
49ers.
At San Francisco. Only because it's at San Francisco and the Bears will be hung over from that Green Bay win, I give it a three. I'm going to go down to a two.
Yeah, that's where I am too. The first thing that popped into my head was a two. Mm-hmm. And you, John Lynch, all the fleecing Ryan Pace and stepping out of the booth and knowing exactly what he's doing. And this team, I think friend of the barroom, Cars, sent out a tweet tonight talking about it, and I do totally agree with him. You know, yeah, it's horrible that they lost Jimmy Garoppolo, but the Niners just have a lack of talent everywhere on that team. And that's a direct reflection from John Lynch. I mean, they drafted a running back last year, was it in round three or round four, that they didn't even originally have on their draft board whatsoever, but John Lynch fell in love with the guy on the phone and he drafted him that early. And now he's out of the league. So it's just little things like that. I mean, these guys are more than Jimmy Garoppolo away. So yeah, two.
What happened to all those people who were giving John Lynch the GM of the Century Award? Where are those people?
Peter King crawled back under. Yeah.
Jeez.
All right, we finish up against the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, at this point of the season, the Bears have first place clinched, and so this may be the Chase Daniels game where a lot of people might say, "Man, this guy can run this fucking offense almost as good as Mr. Trubisky game." So, by that time, unfortunately, Mike Zimmer will be. A few hours after the game, he will be told to bring in his playbook because I really
thought you're gonna say he's gonna have another eye surgery.
Yeah, you're gonna be blind after that game because the beating is gonna be so bad. Definitely, it's a one. The Bears, the only way, well, I'm gonna give it a two because the only way the Bears lose this game is if they go into the playoffs feeling a little, looking past the Vikings and thinking about the playoffs. So a two.
I feel like I'm in a fucking bizarro world with all this positivity coming from Aldo. I'm not going to lie. I feel like he's making a YouTube video and he's going to fucking ether us tomorrow, Phil, or something. I don't know. This is uncharted territory. I love it, though. I love it.
I love this team.
So, yeah, I'm not, everybody knows I'm not a big Minnesota fan. And, yeah, I'm just, they're a team that everybody overrates. I think, yes, Kirk Cousins is playing well, but, they were talking about this defense like it was going to be, you know, an all-time defense that you needed to create a nickname for at one point. And they lose Everson Griffith. Harrison Smith isn't getting any younger, and they have some. Even I'm not a big Xavier Rhodes. I'm a big fan of, but other than that, I'm not a big fan of the other guys in their secondary. But I would put that at a four to end up the season if we're going to go on this awesome run like we're all hoping for. But I don't believe in this Minnesota team whatsoever. I don't see it. And I didn't before the season either.
Yeah. Wow. To me, they're the biggest disappointment in pro football, particularly if they continue, you know, and they're losing ways. I know they had a good game Sunday, but that team just has the roster to be a great team. I don't get what's going on there.
Would they say they haven't had a guy rush for over 53 yards in a game yet this year? Somebody say that?
Dalvin Cook had more hype than freaking Rocky's. What was that kid? Rocky, what was the white blonde-haired kid? Fuck.
Or white blonde.
That one Rocky movie that sucked. It was the only one that sucked.
Oh, Rocky V?
Rocky V.
Tommy Morris.
Tommy the Machine Gun.
Yeah, he had more hype than Tommy the Machine Gun Morrison, for God's sake.
And Cook is good. It's just that he keeps pulling a hammies or he gets another injury and stuff.
You ain't good if you can't play.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely right. But when I every time I've tuned in the game and he's looked somewhat healthy, the guy can play. That guy is good. It's just the injuries have ruined him. Plus, he's playing behind a putrid offensive line.
Yeah, and you want to know the worst part about the Minnesota Vikings? That it's not even close. No, they're fucking their play-by-play announcer, Paul Allen.
He's bad.
I fucking hate that man. I can't stand his fucking voice. I hate everything about it. He's a pretentious fucking cunt, and we should tag him in this because I know he's on Twitter. But yeah, not a fan.
Is it okay to call somebody a cunt if they're not a woman, they're a guy?
I think I always feel weird when I do it, but I've done it a couple times on this show. But I feel like it's forceful and it gets the point across. I feel like
he feels better once he gets that out, huh, Aldo?
Yeah, I think so. My wife and I had a long discussion about the use of that word because she hates that word. And I told her, what if my name was Mike Hunt? And you'd be always saying, Mike Hunt. What's your husband's name? Mike Hunt. So what's the difference? So
his name is Michael.
She didn't appreciate that at all. All right, Phil, give us your numbers
all right,
on these.
Let
and then we'll
quickly
turn
go
the page.
Through these. Okay. Real quick. So Miami, 6. New England, I gave a 10. Do you want me to give you your numbers to go with it?
No, I'll post these on the website.
All right. Jets, I gave a 4. Buffalo, 3. Detroit, 3. Minnesota, 3. Detroit, 3. New York Giants, 2. Rams, 7. Packers, 3. 49ers, 1. Vikings, 3.
Well, I think you're probably, I want to say, more in line with me than with Shane, right?
Yeah. I'm so, with Shane with Miami, New England, because you're low there. Then me and Aldo, me and Shane are even with the Jets. Aldo and I are even with Buffalo. Well, Al, you had a 4, I had a 3. Detroit, you had a 1, I had a 3, Aldo. Shane is 5. Minnesota, Shane has 6, you have 2, and I have 3. Detroit, 7 for Shane, 5 for you, 3 for me. New York Giants, Shane gave a 5, you gave a 2, and I gave a 2.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you are even with the Rams. Shane gave a 10. We both gave 7s. Me and Shane are even with the Packers at 3. You gave them a 1. And the 49ers, me, you and Shane are even there. I'm a 1 there.
Didn't and, you just tell him not to read them?
He had to. He had to. You know, he had to.
Hey, 4, Nick. 2, and 3 to finish out.
Let me tell you something.
But if, we are closer with Aldo, yes.
If the Bears have a hard time in Miami, I'm fucking erasing this show.
Yeah, and I'd like to tell all the BHL fans that tuned in last night to just totally forget Phil's rant on – you know, not looking ahead. It's one game at a time.
This is a game that we're playing. Yeah.
No, and Aldo, I totally agree.
I didn't even know I was even doing this.
Yeah.
Then neither did I.
Neither did I, to be honest with you.
Exactly. Look at this. This isn't,
guys, this isn't scripted.
I'm not reading anything.
This is a totally unscripted show, as is this segment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Bears are going undefeated, yeah.
He's the smartest man. He once fought for equality by allowing cardboard for breakdancers on the street. No matter the lengths he must go, the guy is loyal. He'll always give me a retweet. He's the smartest man, and this is his dumbest tweet of the week.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Those of you who are tuning in for the first time to Bears 100 Proof, welcome. And this is one of the highlights of our show. Every week, Shane Marceau scours the internet and he finds a tweet that he deems is shitty, so shitty that it smells all the way from here, all across America. And a tweet that he really admires. Now, sometimes he does rapid fire. Sometimes he's got many, many tweets. What are you doing this week, Shane?
No, we're gonna go back to the original and just do a 1-1.
Very good.
But we have one here that is so bad, and oh man, I mean it's really 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 bad. This
how bad is it, Shane?
if we did an end of the year bad tweets for the entire season, I think this might be a finalist.
Really?
Holy shit! Literally, yeah,
Marcus literally. But what makes this one so special is it can't really be considered a tweet from this past week. This was just brought to my attention yesterday, and this tweet was sent out on September 1st, and it has to do with a Mr. Number 52 on the Chicago Bears defense from Andrew Perloff from the Dan Patrick Show, at Andrew Perloff.
Oh, I hate that.
Sent out a tweet that said, this is right after the Bears traded for Khalil Mack. He said, people are acting like Khalil Mack trade will shift the power of the entire NFL. I love him, but he has 40 and a half sacks in his first 4 years. He's much closer to Ryan Kerrigan than he is Von Miller. Yeah,
he's a fucking idiot.
I said it.
He's a fucking idiot, Mom. Thank you. This Perloff guy is so annoying that when I turn on the Dan Patrick Show, as soon as the camera points his way, I just turn the fucking channel. I'd fucking rather watch Home and Garden channel with my stepdaughter than watch.
I'd rather watch Matthew Balsley sit on a rock chewing on beef jerky.
No, that guy is terrible. My goodness. And he went to Dartmouth, and he's so stupid. I don't get it.
I'm Andrew Perloff, and we're talking NFL draft.
Today, we're going to talk about overrated NFL draft prospects, starting with Memphis defensive tackle Dontari Poe. Now, Poe came out of nowhere at the NFL scouting combine and ran a 4.940. That's pretty impressive for a huge man, and teams noticed. But now we're seeing him top 10. He was not a dominant force at Memphis. And if you can't dominate in Conference USA, you're not going to dominate in the NFL. I think this is a classic workout wonder, and I think he'll fall a little bit come draft day. Let's look at Boston College linebacker Luke Kuechly. Now, you're seeing him in mock drafts anywhere from 10 to 15. This is common for an inside linebacker to go higher in mock drafts than you actually see him on draft day. Gets a lot of attention in college, a lot of tackles, but tacklers are a dime a dozen.
How are you comparing Khalil Mack at any point in his career to Ryan Kerrigan? I mean,
when you don't
have
football, that's what you do.
Yeah, and you talk about a tweet blowing up on a guy, blowing up in his face.
Oh, God.
Dan Patrick usually has his Danettes go through like a – they have the wheel of shame and all that stuff that they have to do on their show. He should definitely have Perloff do something like that to make up for this bullshit.
Oh, shit.
Do your research.
Fucking – I don't even know who this fucking fraud boy is. Oh, we need a picture next to his tweet.
Yeah.
Put it on the fucking Bears bar.
Looks, well, they call him McLovin on the show, and that's what you know.
Larry, that's all you had to say.
I'm going to try and play tonight. Got to be honest, it's going to be a game time decision, but follow Twitter, you'll probably hear a lot more about it. But if I do play, it's going to be magic. Oh. Oh no.
You need help?
I just broke my glasses.
How did you break your glasses?
I was trying to spin the ball and it hit off the wall.
No.
These are like $400 glasses.
He does look just like McLovin.
He has a fucking keyboard from Dartmouth.
Yeah.
Or was he a fucking one of those frat boys that knew everything?
No, he's a keyboard genius.
Okay.
You know, the thing is the Dan Patrick Show, they openly admit that they've stolen their model from the Howard Stern Show and stuff. But I for the life of me, there's nobody as awful on the Stern Show as this Adam McLovin guy. Never have they, and they've had some people on the Stern Show. I've been a devout listener for many years. They've had some people on the Stern Show who were like, I fucking hate it. Like that little dwarf guy, that little
the angry dwarf, Hank?
No, not that guy. The
Eric the actor.
Yeah.
So ungrateful, that little fucker.
Bye for now.
Yeah, he talking about the dead midget. Died 4 years ago.
He died.
Motherfucker should die. He did. When? Yeah.
What happened to him?
4 years ago.
How did he die?
He had some. He was all fucked up. Anyway,
you didn't hear the story of how he died?
No, I.
He fucking like had. He passed out.
Yeah.
And his arm hits the controller of his chair.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You didn't hear this story?
No.
So his arm hits the... He's with his fucking guide, whatever the guy that takes care of him, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The guy who takes care of him's asked to take a picture of this Chinese couple. So Eric passes out, hits his fucking arm on the chair, and starts driving off the fucking bridge that they're visiting and taking pictures at. Fucking guy falls off the side of the cliff, smashes his head on like a 12-foot drop, like on the side. He wasn't at the top.
I didn't even, Phil, I think you heard that from someplace, dude. That's not
I'm breaking out.
I was going to say, holy shit.
You're supposed to let him react. I figured he was doing what I was talking
like, about. I'm like, Jesus Christ, he must be watching a different show than I did.
I wanted to hear out. Holy shit, now I feel bad for this guy.
I'm scared. Yeah. I'm looking for it all over the internet to see if I can find a clip of that.
Aldo's, do your research. Like, yeah.
Do your research.
It was funny. I remember
the
day.
He died of like a stroke for real.
Well, yeah, it wasn't a. He had some. His seizures. His organs just started shutting down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I had just, Riley was in a preschool called Noah's Ark at the time, and I had just dropped him off, and I stopped and I got gas. And I was filling up my car, and I had the radio was still going on Sirius, and I heard him say, you know, we're really going to miss Eric. And I thought High Pitch Eric died, you know, that fat fuck. I figured he had a heart attack or something. So I get in the car, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm talking about Eric the actor, and I'm like, what?
He's High Pitch.
Yeah, who's High Pitch? I think I texted you, Phil. I'm like, bro, do you know Eric the actor died? You're like, what? No way.
Yeah. I was pissed. You know what? You got to play for the non-Stern fan here. Drop it in. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know you forget all this fucking time, but please do it here.
I actually started writing shit down.
The story when he gets kicked off the show, remember? And he calls up as Derek.
Derek from Texas. Same voice, just with a Southern accent.
He tries to put on a Texas accent. And Robin's playing along with it.
Yes.
Fucking, I laughed so fucking hard. I laugh every time I hear that.
Yeah, I'm here.
You claim your name is Derek, and you're not Eric the actor.
You got that right. Yes.
So that is the Eric I know and can kind of, I just understand. You know, that's why I never really, but I know why. Because he was the most fun. He had like an Amazon list and shit.
Yeah.
He's putting shit on there. I want them. Mary wouldn't go up in the balloon.
Yeah. He had like fucking bowling ball on
he
his.
He wouldn't
fucking
play a gay role. List. They were going to get him a huge role in a big movie. And he wouldn't play the gay guy.
Exactly. Yes. I remember that.
Not going to do it.
He was actually in an episode of The X-Files, too, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was in a...
And Fringe.
Yeah, that was with...
I was a big fan of Fringe.
That was the lady that... Was that the show? The lady that played Stern's wife in his movie.
Oh,
was she in Fringe?
I don't know.
Yes, she was. Mary
She was?
Mary McCormick.
Yeah, Mary McCormick, yeah.
Yeah. She was. I didn't see that episode with Eric in it, but I do remember that she was on the show talking about Eric being on the show.
His head explodes in the episode.
That's right.
Like literally, yeah.
Benji or Eric, Aldo?
Benji, you know, is very disrespectful, always showing up late and so forth, but I love Benji much, much, much more.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. Fucking A.
The Benji Vortex.
I love it.
We move on.
Oh, yeah. Hey, now.
Oh, yeah. I think a paraplegic just fell off a bridge. Yeah.
He's the smartest man. He's the mailman. He always delivers. And if you're lost, he'll give you tremendous direction. The only thing more glorious than a smartest man slam is an Ash O'Malley question. He's the smartest man, and this is his best tweet of the week.
Yeah, Ash, you gotta up your question game.
I was like, no, wait a second. So she's saying, I like literally, I want to answer Ashley's question because I think Ashley's like a tremendous barfly.
Oh, yes.
Let's put that out there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I answer her question. And then I'm like, wait. Did BG fuck it up or what's going on? It was the Benji Vortex, Shane, in my house.
Yeah, well, I heard it, and I had a little notepad next to me and a pen,
this
and I'm like...
This guy in his notepad.
I'm like, listening, I'm like, what the fuck did she just... What was that question? And then I'm like trying to write it down real quick so I can try to figure out what the fuck Ashley was trying to ask. And she wanted... It was something about... The players that are going to be off the team in 2019, but we want them back now, which if they were off the team in 19, then they'd be on the team now. So they are here. Well, no, but it's former players too. Which ones would you like to have back? Yeah, it was very confusing. I felt like I was caught in the Russell Baxter vortex.
We love you, Ashley.
And we love you, Russell. Go ahead, Shane.
Yes, we do.
So, yeah, at Chicago Sports sent out a tweet, and it was via at Dan Weeder. I know we're not huge fans of Weeder here at the Bar Room, or he seems to be Mr. Pessimism all the time, but mm-hmm. I guess with the positivity that's flowing out of Mr. Gandia, Weeder's got a hold of some of that too, and he sent out a tweet. There's an obvious energy that is pulsing through the Bears locker room. This new vibe at Halas Hall is fueling the first place Bears with confidence that is bigger because there are still things ahead and the players know it. So I think that that's really, really important. We've referred to this before, being a young team and playing with confidence, and it really alludes to what you guys were talking about with, you know, feeling so confident yourself with some of these games. And Phil, you know how it is. You played football, and it's not just football. It's any sport in general. Confidence, you have to be aggressive and you have to be confident. And if you're playing aggressively and playing confidently, you're going to do great things. And it's going to, you know, go throughout the entire organization, players, coaches, you know, front office, and we've seen strides in each one of those levels throughout the organization. So it's just something to keep an eye on, and it's these are different times in Chicago that we're not real used to. But I am going to add one more here. I know I told you it was going to be one and one, but this is another one from Dan Weeder, and I wanted to bring it up because you guys had Mark Grody on BHL last night, and Phil had asked me if I had any questions, so I'd given him a couple, and Phil asked him about who the unquestioned leader was, and Grody said he thought it was Akeem Hicks was the unquestioned leader. When we had J.J. Stankovic on 100 Proof a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, no doubt about it, it's Mitch Trubisky. Well, Dan Weeder sent out another text today. He said, I asked some Bears players about everyday tone setters for this team, and one name that kept popping up over and over again, Allen Robinson. Tariq Cohen said, one-on-one, he's always sharing his expertise. He has a lot to offer, and it always makes you feel comfortable talking to him. So when we were talking about, you know, the Marcus Robinson thing, one guy that you can look to and get excited about, I think this is a feather in the cap of Ryan Pace to the type of people that he's bringing in. You know, he extended Akeem Hicks. That's under his watch. Allen Robinson, people are looking at him as a leader. You know, Stankovic talked about Mitch Trubisky. You know, Pace made the move up for him. And, you know, Khalil Mack, Phil, you put his name out there. He's another one. So the Bears seem to be built, you know, with a bunch of guys that are leaders. And maybe there isn't just one. Maybe there's a handful of them. And I think that that's definitely a good thing. And that's another thing that we haven't seen in Chicago in quite some time. So the arrow is pointing up with this team, and it's really a fun thing to see, and it's why these games are so fun to watch. So Dan Weeder and at Chicago Sports, you guys are my tweets of the week.
Yeehaw!
I can't believe it.
Wow. Weederer.
Yeah.
Now, though, can you believe it, Mr. Negative Nancy?
Yeah, that's a, you know, the whole Earth thing is going to just fly off the fucking axis, and we're just going to travel through space, because if the Bears really are who I think they are, they're gonna win every goddamn game, and Dan Weeder is gonna start talking, saying nice things about the Bears, and I'm gonna right. get laid every night, then the whole fucking world has changed.
Before we know it, Phil's gonna be on Windy City Gridiron podcast talking to those guys. Crazy. Him and Andrew Link are gonna have their own show.
I would love to see that. A debate between Link.
Did you think they would ever? Because you know I would go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we've asked them to come on.
Yep.
for that's keeping it 100.
Yeah. I think that they're scared of us just because they think that, you know, they know that we are in attack mode most of the time. But at the end of the day, it's all about football. And yeah, you'd have zero issue going on there and talking ball. But I don't think that they're.
Oh my God.
I don't think that they're up to it.
Well, I know some podcasts don't go for the big guests, but I try to go for the biggest and best and try to speak my best.
Which
and
is why they should have you, right?
Yeah, that's why they should have me, you know, because I'm not afraid to. I try to be the best I could possibly be, but. You know, I'm no J.J. Stankovic on television now, so bring me on the show. Let's fucking talk ball, and then we could go over any questions anybody has, because I don't hide behind a keyboard. Never will. Never have. In fact, we put out where I was going to be so we can talk about things. So our show, once again... I think I got to do a rant, but not a rant, Aldo. It's going to be like 45 seconds to music about Bears 100 proof and what it means. So every time it comes on after who's sponsoring us, as a reminder, this show is about the truth and what we do on this show. And we'll do something like that. I'm going to do something. It just came to me. I got to do it.
Yeah.
Because... our job is, we're not in attack mode. We've had, in fact, this is not planned. Nothing, I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Aldo just brings it. All right, guys, we're going to do this right now. We didn't know. But last night we had Mark Grody. Shane was going after Grody. You're the new fucking Bears sideline guy. Talk about the Bears. Tweet about, what are you doing? Bears Barroom did that. Yep. My buddy.
And he appreciated it.
He appreciated it. He came on the show, and that I wrote him a fucking song, Aldo, and I put it in the lyric. Mm-hmm. He faced it, and now he graced it, meaning our show, because that's what you do as a man. Now, if Shane, Phil, and Aldo, and Buffon, and all these other people, if they had done, you know, said dumb stuff, I'm going to go after Buffon. I've gone after Uncle Mikey. I love Mike. I don't go, like, don't paint this show and what we do into something where we haven't rewarded the thousands of downloads that has come from it and the growth of Bears Barroom alone. So that pisses me off that these guys and message boards and talk, like, I'm very approachable. I will go on your show. I will talk to you. We'll talk football. And if you want to talk about the issue, I'll talk about it. I think it's fraudulent to say you're an insider when you have no fucking clue and are guessing.
Are you talking about Eric Lambert and his YouTube video, the new Bears insider?
Now, who you think you're talking to?
If you haven't seen it, I think you should see it and make your own judgment. See, I put myself out there. I was with Aldo. Aldo puts himself out there. He does movies and videos. I'm going to do a halftime video this week, right? I got to keep the tradition up.
That's right.
Live from the Atoshan household.
Got to be nice. I like that angle.
But the reality is, last point, is Shane, Aldo, and Phil have a job to do. And that's tear down the narratives and tell the real truth. And part of that,
ridiculous,
and it should be, exactly, is inviting people on our show to come on and debate us truthfully. There's no punches can be thrown. And lastly, go back in the library of shows and you will see that energetically, from hashtag Trubisky now to we need a quarterback, we have to draft a quarterback no matter what, you're doing it wrong, oh, we signed Glenn. No, Bears Barroom said you got to get a quarterback. It's there. All these draft choices, Shane calling out the fucking free agent sign, it's all there. This isn't patting ourselves on the back. This is reality. I'm telling the truth. Like, If another show did this, they'd be doing the same thing, and they'd be dumb if they didn't. So I'm not going to be dumb. I'm going to say we're going to call out the frauds, and we're going to continue to do that. That's not our shtick. It's the reality. Howard Stern is one of my idols. He's in the top five people I would love to meet. He calls out the fucking frauds in his genre of what they're doing, that copy them, that do this. I believe in the same spiritual energy. I'm not doing it as a mean person. I'm just, okay, your gut isn't an insight, okay? You're telling and describing the tight end and the fullback play completely different plays, but you're saying they're the same thing, and you're misinforming fans. No coach can go on the tape doesn't lie and say, Phil, you drew this up wrong. You're wrong here. Challenge you. No one could do it because I won't do that to Bears Barroom or Bears Barroom listeners. Shane won't do that. Shane's not pulling tweets personal because believe me, I'm sure there's shittier tweets from people he fucking can't stand. And that is my rant on 100 Proofs tonight.
and back to that, big guests, we're not a show that brings on big guests, which is an obvious shot towards us. But I mean,
come meet me at Portillo's and let's get it on.
Let's get it on. Just think about the logistics of that. You know, here, welcome to the show, Mitch Trubisky. Well, you know, we got Jake from Massapequa on tonight, so we're gonna brand ourselves
Massapequa, Long Island.
Yeah, we're gonna brand ourselves with that. So, but that's fine. You need. You know, big boy podcasts like us, and you need micro podcasts like the other guys. So it is what it is.
Wow, that was pretty good. Can I get that Portillo's drop again?
You got it.
Come meet me at Portillo's and let's get it on.
I fucking love that guy.
Yeah. Retweet that, Phil.
Could someone retweet that?
I want that to be my ringtone. I got to figure out how to do ringtones because that'd be a great ringtone. Right?
Hey, I think that guy likes Bears Barroom.
That's a great idea. We got to do a Bears 100 proof ringtones that we put out there.
Oh, holy yeah. Shit. All my songs could be ringtones, Shane?
Oh, hell no.
No, not that. Fuck that. I was thinking about drops from the show.
Shit, oh, come on. You
know. Rank on there. Let's get it on.
We have not played the Tweet Eater song. Aldo.
Oh, fuck.
You know what I'm saying? We keep saying it.
I am on a fucking losing streak when it comes to that song.
I know. So you're the opposite of Uncle Mike. Mike North is on a winning streak. Aldo's on a losing streak with this.
Speaking of Mike North, I don't know if you guys listened to the very first Let's Talk It Out show with Trey Busy.
Yep.
It's our Bears Barroom public service show. We're very proud of the show and very proud of what Trey is doing. He's working really hard at putting together a 60-minute show that reaches out to the community and helps people deal with their problems when it comes to stress and mental illness and so forth. Well, on the premiere episode, I fucking made a huge ass mistake. You know what I'm talking
Trey
about?
Trey told me about that.
Did he tell you?
I'll let you tell.
Right, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to play it. I'm going to play it and see if you can detect where the mistake is. Okay, here it is.
About the Derrick Rose episode, my favorite athlete on the Bulls. I'm just going to go ahead and get going with it.
The Squirm Club.
sorry, a little mix up right there. that's hilarious. So basically I like to
how do you get out of that? How does Trey get out of
just think about if Trey had some dude that he was opening up to and talking off the ledge. Now the process. Shut up, Jeff. You're from the Lucky Sperm Club.
The Lucky Sperm Club.
You know, the funniest
thing. We had a little bit of a mix-up there. Can we make Trey's response to that a drop?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me hear it real quick one more time. One more time. Shane, this is such a drop.
Sorry, a little mix up right there. that's hilarious.
That is awesome.
I wish my eyes were a camera because he and I are both on Skype so we could see each other and give hand signals about what's going on next and so forth. When I did that, my hands covered my mouth because I was in fucking horror that of all the fucking drops that I've got loaded, it could have been this one.
It's ridiculous.
It could have been, you know.
A baloney pony.
What's the hand signal for the Lucky Sperm Club? What does that look like?
Trey, when he hears that, his eyes got so fucking wide. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, because he's looking at me like, what do I fucking say? What do I fucking do? And so I'm thinking to myself, well, should I break in and say I'm sorry, I made a mistake or something? No, I'm just going to let him fucking swim out of this deep part of the water all on his own.
You got to have fun with it and do the Sal Governale, you know, public service announcement. Hello.
That's right.
This is Aldo Gandia.
I know you.
I am not a racist.
No, I know you are not part of the Lucky Sperm Club, which is why you're listening to this show.
I realize that Matt Leinart and Deshaun Watson are nothing alike.
Oh my gosh, my apologies to Trey, and I'm surprised nobody in the chat room said anything at all. Everybody's so supportive of Trey, so they probably heard and said, I'm not going to say anything. Are you going to say anything? No, I'm not going to say anything. Nobody said a word about it, but I had to play here for you guys, and I'm going to play this now. Actually, no, I'm not. This is the end of part one and part two of Bears 100 Proof for the week of October 8th. Will be released later today.
No. You know there are two sides to every story.
Was wild.